Going to open with a couple of verses from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. Okay, now if you want to follow along, that's fine. This is in the King James, authorized 1611 Bible. Excuse me, Romans chapter 3. I want to read a couple of verses there, okay? Beginning at verse 9. The heading, incidentally, is the world guilty before God. The world, guilty before God. Now, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not none. 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. In verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And if you slip down to verse 14, or let's go to verse 13 first. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Wow. And verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Just those few verses I wanted to open with before we get into the message. Now, what's the easiest thing in the entire world that you can do without lifting a finger? What do you think it is? Ah, well, I'll pray while you give it some thought, okay? Heavenly Father, I come before you today to give thee praise and thanks. Praise, because thou art our holy and righteous God. Thanks, because you have provided a way for us to enter into your holy presence. Please, Lord, give me utterance, O God, and add a measure of wisdom filled with hope and understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Okay. Time's up. I've entitled my message, Sinners Galore. Sinners Galore. Ooh, that's pretty heavy, but you know what? It's a fact. There are more sinners in the world than there are righteous, I'll tell you that. Oh, yes, oh, yes. Now, what's the easiest thing in the world you can do without lifting a finger? Ready? You ready? The easiest thing in the world that you can do without lifting a finger, of course, it's a three-letter word. It's called sin. Sin. You don't have to lift a finger to sin. In fact, you don't have to move any part of your body to sin, not even your tongue. You see, we're all sinners from birth. Yes, sinning is so easy, in fact, you can do it without lifting a finger. The truth of the matter is, like I was just saying, we are all born in sin. Now, you're saying, well, how can that be? I mean, little babies, they can't be sinners. They don't even know what sin is. Well, unfortunately, we are under the curse of sin. And now, before this is finished, you'll know how to come out from under that curse. And that's important. Oh, so important indeed. Now, how can one who knows no sin, if there is such a thing, sin? If you don't know sin, how can you sin? Well, that sounds like an easy question to answer. The simple answer is because of what took place in the Garden of Eden, when Eve and Adam ate of the forbidden fruit after God had told them not to. That's where sin began, isn't it? They could eat from every tree in the garden except one. The tree in the midst of the garden. Now, if we look in Genesis 2, verse 9, we'll get the full story here. The Word of God says, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then we go to Genesis 3, verse 3. But, here comes that big but, of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. There you have it. The tree in the midst of the garden. Now, it's funny, you know, but you probably realize in the life we live in today, especially where children are concerned, if you tell them not to go somewhere or not to do something or not to touch something, then they go, they have a burning desire to want to do it. Why is that? Because we are all born with a sin nature. The desire, they don't know it's a sin, they don't know it's wrong, but they have a burning desire to want to do it. That's the simple answer of what took place in the Garden of Eden when Eve and Adam ate of the forbidden fruit. And God had told, after God had told them not to. Is it because God told them not to that they did it? Or was it because they were in a sinful state? Well, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. And here's a clincher. A lot of ladies don't want to hear it. And he, that's the husband he's speaking of, and he shall rule over thee. Now, that's not a pleasant thought, is it, ladies? Your husband's going to rule over you, especially in this day and age. Whoa! Now, these are the words of God. So listen carefully. That he shall rule over thee. Did you hear that, ladies? Did you? He shall rule over thee. Not my words now, but God, your Creator. Sadly, this is likely the real forerunner to what we know today as women's liberation. Women's lib. So, what are you going to do, ladies? Rise up and call God a male chauvinist pig? Not advised. Is this your response? Is it? It would seem so, seeing as how many women have virtually taken the helm from man and are determined to steer the ship themselves. Well, steering the ship might be okay, but mutiny against God, well, that's something else. That's something else. You see, behind every mutiny, there is usually a shipwreck. A shipwreck. Why is that, you suppose? Because every ship can only have one captain. Do you see where I'm going with this? Every ship can only have one captain. And if the husband is the captain, the way God proclaimed then he cannot, or pardon me, cannot the wife be his first mate? Huh? Ho, 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 ho. Are you getting the connection here? If the husband's the captain, cannot the wife be his first mate? If this be so, well, then cannot God be admiral of the fleet? Huh? Wow, it's laid out there pretty clear, isn't it? The husband the captain, the wife the first mate, and only mate, I might add, and of course, the captain. The captain. The admiral of the fleet. Not just one ship, but many ships. Tell me, ladies. Tell me, men. Does God have the preeminence in your marriage? Does he? Or has pride taken over? Has pride taken over? You know, pride is a terrible thing. The Bible tells us that God hates a proud look. Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. That's the other half of the verse. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. 1 John 2:16 tells us that the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. Talking about our Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father. Proverbs 16:5 has this to say, that everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Now, you might think, hey, there's nothing wrong with being proud of what you do. Well, it all depends what you did, first of all, and who you give the thanks to. Huh? If you're going to swell up with pride yourself, well, you hear what God said. With pride, then cometh shame. Then cometh shame. Now, you have to figure that one out for yourself. The Word of God is clear enough. But if you feel that there's a way that you can get around it, well, you go for it. But I wouldn't advise it. Oh, no. No, no. You can't overcome or usurp authority over the Word of God. Proverbs 16:5 tells us that everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Wow. I remember when I was in the military, I was proud. I was proud to be a soldier in Canada's Army. I was proud when I got all dressed up in my well-pressed uniform and looked down at my shiny boots and knew that I did it all myself or done it all myself. I was proud. You know what? The military teaches you to be proud. They do. They want you to be proud. Why is that, do you suppose? Huh? Well, because if you're proud of yourself, then you'll want to do what you have to do to maintain that pride. Especially when you go into battle. Are you confident you will overcome the enemy? Well, if you are, then you have to be proud of that confidence. There's nothing wrong with that. We're talking about an inner self-pride. A pride that God hates. And that's not it. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. No, ladies, this is not an attack on women. Have they got that? It is not an attack on women. But actually, a revelation that will drive you to or from God. That's what it will do. Pride is a very, very, very deadly sin. It will either drive you to or from God. And it is not an attack. Remember that. It is not an attack to downplay the woman's role as wife and mother. Not at all. But you see, it's a man's position in the home to run the home according to God, as God has instructed. You know, you can call it pride. You say, oh, my husband's a proud man. You know, he standeth tall in the church and in the streets. He's a proud man. People look up to him. Well, that's a different kind of pride. If your husband is a Christian, then he can be proud of the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with that. But if it's the difference right here is self-pride. That's what we're talking about, self-pride. Well, the Word of God makes it clear, very clear. Sorry, ladies, here it comes. The woman shall not usurp authority over the man. The woman shall not usurp authority over the man. Now listen carefully. I did not write these words. These words were written by God, as are by man appointed by God, I should say, to make it clear. And if we turn to 2 Timothy and read 11, let's see, 2 Timothy, let's get down there first. 2 Timothy, I have what you call the bald knob fingers. I have no grip in my fingertips, none whatsoever. I can't grasp things too easily. Not at all. Find it difficult. But you know, some things are not worth grasping anyway. Some things are not. So, kind of let myself go with the flow. Hang in there. You can do her. Yeah, you can do her. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy and read verses 11. I'm sorry I led you astray. Oh, God forgive me. It wasn't pride, I promise you. Okay, 1 Timothy I'm talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 11 to 14. Okay, listen carefully. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, verse 16. But shun profane and vain ramblings, or babblings rather, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and the word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. And let's go to verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that God knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, iniquity, well, pride is iniquity. I want to go to actually out of 2 Timothy. I want to go to 1 Timothy, okay? 1 Timothy, because the verses I really want you to hear are very important. 1 Timothy 2, 11 to 14. Can you bear with me for a second? 1 Timothy 2. I'll give you a chance to turn there anyway, right? Okay. Okay, now listen carefully. Here's the crux of the whole thing, all right? 1 Timothy 2, 11 to 14. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Verse 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And verse 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. You got that? In the transgression. Not nice, huh? And verse 15 puts it all together. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. With sobriety. Now, those aren't my words. Those are the words of God. They're in His holy book, the King James, authorized 1611. Right there for your reading, for your admonition, ladies. So, ladies, do not tell me you're a Christian if you do not abide in the Word of God. No, you only think you are. And this doesn't apply just to ladies. It applies to everyone. Men, children, good old boys, you name it. Do not tell me you're a Christian if you do not abide in the Word of God. No. Pride is a terrible thing when it comes between you and God. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is indeed. Look around you. Look around you. See the Word of God being challenged every day. Man is supposed to be head over the woman. Some don't do a very good job of that. They take advantage of that. And they are the next thing to ruffians. And they're certainly not working in God's favor. But they love to have dominion over the weaker vessel nonetheless. I suppose that would be why the world is in the shape it is today. Or half of it anyway. It's all a battle of the sexes, isn't it? Oh, man is supposed to be head over the woman, okay? Each has a God-given role to play. The woman has the greater role. For the home is where life begins. Have they got that? The woman has the greater role. For the home is where the life begins. If the woman fails as a mother, then the children will follow just naturally. Consider this. If women's liberation, which is not of God, if women's liberation continues to manifest authority, especially in the workplace, in government, in male-oriented roles, then what little hope is left? What little hope is left today will deteriorate in oblivion. And God will close a door on humankind forever, forever. You know, if I were a pastor of a godly church, today, especially today, I'm sure the numbers would decrease over such a sermon as this. But I'm not. I'm not, and I shall not be. Sometimes it's easier to see what's going on in the inside simply by listening on the outside. I'm not saying you stand outside a church building and put your ear to the window or to the wall. That's not what I mean. But the way people live will tell you what they're getting from their church sometime, if you listen carefully, if you observe even from a distance. Yes, there are sinners galore, all right. Yes, they are, and there always will be. And I believe the numbers will increase before they abate. Excuse me. But then will the Christ of God break through the clouds of glory, and the voice of the archangel shall shout, come up hither, come up hither? Tell me. Tell me. Will you be in that number? Will you? Or are you filled with too much pride? God is reaching out His hand for us. All we have to do is by faith reach it back and take what He is offering. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. It's as simple as that. But don't try to fool God, because God knows your heart. Okay? Sinners galore. Oh, they're everywhere. They're all over the place. Everywhere you look. In front of you, in back of you, and maybe in your own heart, too, if you haven't repented. But even if you have, you're still likely to stumble from time to time. So don't think you're something special when you're not. But you are, if you're a believer. You are a child of the King, and that can never be taken away. Thank you. God bless you. And be sure to stay tuned to the Just Jesus Radio Network. There's some good preaching on the way. God bless you. Amen. Amen.